Channel One Right, Reel Two, Channel One Right, Reel Two, Channel One Right, Reel Two. It's either Monday night or Tuesday morning. And the bottom, Channel One Right, Reel Two, the bottom, Channel One Right, Reel Two, the bottom, Channel One Right, Reel Two, the bottom. It's either Monday night or Tuesday morning, Channel One Right, Reel Two, the bottom, Channel One Right, Reel Two, the bottom. It's either Monday night or Tuesday morning. Channel One Right, Reel Two, Channel One Right, Reel Two. It's either Monday night or Tuesday morning, Channel One Right, Reel Two, Channel One Right, Reel Two. It's either Monday night or Tuesday morning.
The tape ran out, and this was one of the last things that we were talking about. And I had just told you that somebody told me, I don't know who it was, it could have been one of the children. I haven't seen anybody else, it has to be. And they said that you knew how to handle a school bus. And you picked up what this fellow over here said, you know. That's interesting.
Well, that was about the, when I started in, you see.
Yes.
He, this man, told me afterwards, after I drove a year or two, I didn't know it. You see how things can go on for maybe 3 or 4 years, and after you overcome them, people will have to come and acknowledge the mistakes,
yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Well, now, he did that. He told me, he said, well, I'd said something out about driving the bus. Well, if it delayed my power, he said, you wouldn't never turn the wheel over on the school bus. But
yeah.
He said, I couldn't stop you. He said, I said, since you're so honest about it and told me that you worked against me, I had told him that I couldn't drive, that it's just good luck. Now he said, you can't tell me that. He said, if it delayed in my power, he said, you'd never turned the wheel over on the bus. But he said, I didn't. I said, well, since you've been so honest as to tell me this, why did you take your stand against me? You care to tell me why? No, he said. He said, I just didn't think you was a qualified driver for to handle them kids. And he said, I only boy I had rode the bus.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't think you was a qualified driver to handle a school bus for a bunch of kids. And I said, well, I wasn't. It's just good luck. Oh, he said, you can't tell me that. He said, you crossed them hills with that bus with kids on it when I wouldn't take my pickup and go across.
Oh, he's the one that opposed you.
Yes.
Worked against you.
He's the fellow that opposed me, yes.
Yeah, he's the one with the horse. But I didn't get that.
No, he's not the one.
Oh, he's not the one.
He's not the one with the horse, no. No, he gauge chair for the Uiki, worked for the Uiki Oil Company.
Yeah.
Gauger.
Yeah.
He'd take his gauging tools on his back and walk across the hill. He said, when I went across with the school bus and brought the kids out.
Yeah.
Wouldn't drive it with his pickup.
I see.
So, you see, you never know who's working against you.
No. You never.
But he was honest enough to tell me, and
yeah.
He was honest enough to congratulate me on my ability to drive.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing that everybody else knows, but it's hard for you to find out.
Yeah. Then I tell you, a lot of things happened while I was driving school bus there. I'd have it up and down with several superintendents that I worked under. Worked under six or seven. And I had to tell them just straight what I thought and what was what, to protect myself, my rights, you see.
Yeah.
I tried to get a smaller bus. I told them, I said, this road's too big for, they'd give me, first give me a 36 passenger bus. Well, it was too little for my load. And I recommended a 42 passenger bus. Well, the superintendent said no. He said, too small, I'm not going to. And he ordered me a 54 passenger bus. And Chevrolet brought it in, gave it to me. Well, it was too big. I'd have to cut back in this turn up here.
Well, you couldn't make it in one time.
No. So I went on and drove it the first year. And coming this way one time, the road was so slick. And I noticed if I crowded too much, went too fast around the turn where I stood a chance of going over the mountain. I'd unload my kids when it was real dangerous. Let them walk around the turn.
Oh.
And this particular time, the road was so slick, I put it in extreme low gear to keep my speed down, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the weight of the bus was so great that wheels didn't turn, they started sliding.
Yeah.
Slid right into the turn, and coming around the turn this way, got down here far enough and it slid sideways and was just crossways of the road this way.
Yeah.
Had to hold to the back of the bus to go up. The back wheels all saved me from going over the hill. The back wheel slid this way down far enough and got in the slope of the ditch on the upper side and finally stopped crossways of the road.
Oh, I see. And the back wheel
was in the ditch on the upper side.
On the upper side.
Yes,
yeah.
And the front wheels, if you went around in front of it, you had to hold to the bumper.
Yeah.
To keep them going over the hill.
Yeah.
Had to come down here, and I didn't call for them to send. I ought to call for the superintendent to send the wrecker out, what I ought to done, and to come along to see what kind of a predicament I was in. But I didn't. My gas tank was on the lower side. I lost putting out a full tank of gas. We pulled right out in the road and run down the road. Well, I had to walk down home here and get a come along I had and change and put to a walnut tree out of this way above the road and hook the come along on the lower side of my bumper. Scooped the front end of my bus this way back in the road before I could get out.
You mean to come along would move that bus?
Yes. Oh, yes. It's come along I've got here. Pulled this Super C tractor and a 50T International baler that was buried in the creek up there. Pulled it out. And Mr. Ashley up here just sat down on his knees and worked it with one hand this way.
I want to see that come along sometime.
Well, it's just aluminum come along.
Nothing special?
No. No, nothing special, no. It's just a, it's just got a ratchet chair and a handle about that long.
Yeah.
It's
that's
working.
That's all you do.
So,
you don't act like that for me.
Well, now, that happened to me with the 54 passenger bus. And the superintendent, I growled so much, and after I told him about this incident happening, why, he said, well, he said, if we order buses next spring, he says, I'm going to order 242 passengers. Well, I said, if you order a Chevrolet, I want the Chevrolet. That was before school went out that year. Well, he left the 1st of July. Something funny, the superintendent, the political power wouldn't let him stay in Clay County over 2 years, something.
Yeah.
See what I mean? So he had to leave 1st of July. And his assistant was going to step up and take his place. And he gave him orders, told him, he said, I ordered that 42 passenger Chevrolet bus for Boyle. And I want you to see that he gets it when they come in this fall. And he was up on the High River at next to Wheeling at Wharton on the High River. Went up in that end of the state in the school program up there. So when the buses come in, I was having trouble getting over the road with the long bus, you know, big bus. So I wanted to take the International. And Mr. Lambie wouldn't let me. He said, no. He said, I promised Mr. Proudfoot I'd see that you got the 42 passenger Chevrolet bus. And he said, you'll have to wait till it comes in. He said, I'm going to be as good as my word. So I had to wait 3 or 4 more weeks to get my bus, but I got it.
Yeah. And that suited you?
Yes, yeah, sir. I could get over my road. Now, this 54 passenger bus wasn't balanced. Couldn't hold the front end nowhere.
Yeah.
And over on the other fork of the creek, topping up right on top of the mountain, I was going up there one day when it was slick. Don't mind whether it was this particular time I slid in the curve up here or not. Don't think it was. But anyhow, the road was slick, and I had my bus in low gear traveling up the mountain. Just now she let loose, lost traction, started sledding back down the hill. And the wheels rolling up. Now that was with the bus.
Yeah.
Big bus. First time it happened with me was a 35 model Chevrolet two-door sedan that I started holding 9 kids in when I started contract.
Yeah.
I had knobby tread tires on that old 35 Chevy. And heavy set of chains, and it this slick road was just to begin to thaw and the water was running down the tracks. Well, I stayed in the tracks where I made my mistake, that guy. I stayed in the tracks and the water running over the ice made it so slick that my old car lost traction with the chains and knobby tread tires on, and it started sliding back down the hill.
Yeah.
I seen a boy over here, he was as tall as you, ready to graduate. He was graduating that year, if I don't mistake not. When that started, the traction let loose, started back down the mountain. Well, he just jumped. He was sitting right behind me in the back seat. He just jumped up and grabbed me around the neck. Oh, boy, we're going over the hill. We're going over the hill. Well, I said, you sit down and get from a hold of me. Oh, we might. I'm going to try to hold it straight. And I did hold it in the tracks, and it drifted back down on the level enough till it stopped.
Is that right?
Now, that happened to me twice on this same piece of road right over here. I could drive you over there and show you where it happened.
How far from here is that?
It's a... you go across the hill over here.
Yeah.
And go on up past, instead of turning up this way, you go on up the Blacktop Road and go to the top of the next hill.
Yeah.
Right out here. Yeah. 3 miles from here, 3.5. So, now you don't feel good. That was 3 times in driving over these roads that I plumb lost control of my bus. Now, if that won't put white hairs in your head, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, now, at that time, you didn't even have a tractor.
No. Yeah, let's see. Yes.
No.
When did Fuster go to Florida? Leo's been in Florida 15 years, Mom. Yes, I think we had this tractor.
I know, but you've been retired.
I've been retired 10 years, yes.
Oh, you've been retired longer than that.
I retired in 63, Mom. This is 74.
When did you get, is this this first tractor you had?
Yes. Yes.
When do you think you got it? You started, it's 52 model.
55 model.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have it too long, did you?
No.
He got it off his brother.
Oh, you got it from his brother?
Mm-hmm.
Well?
Cluster that lived in Gainesville died. He died there 4 years ago.
Wasn't that long?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you were driving a school bus well before you started driving a tractor.
I started driving a school bus in fall of 47.
Yes. Well, but you'd had cars.
Oh, yes.
You had pickup trucks.
Yes. Yes, and before, I tell you, the summer before, that I went on the big bus and went into Clay. I drove school bus. I drove the contract job out of here and in the other fork that winter. Well, through the summer months, there was a fellow by the name of Moore, Oakie Moore, down here, working down at Cornwell on Elk River at the compressor station, Hope compressor station. Well, the boss said to him one day, he said, "Is there any good men up there that you can bring down?" He said, "I need some more men." And he said, "Mainly," he said, "I need a man with a chauffeur's license to put on the truck, truck."
Yeah.
He said, "I've got some work that I've got to go to other stations, and I've got some hauling I have to do from other stations in other counties." And he said, "The man that I've got driving the truck on the yard here," he said, "anybody can drive it here, but," he said, "they have to have chauffeur's license to go out on the road." And he said, "Mainly that's what I want." Well, he said, "A man by the name of Cook up there drove school bus this last winter." So he took me down, got me a job. And went on a few days. The man didn't put me on the truck right then. He put me on the crane, as a gym hand on the crane. They had a truck with a crane mounted on it for to lift the pipes and the machinery around, you know, that they were setting. They were building the plant, enlarging it. So he put me as gym hand for the crane operator. Well, I was greasing the old truck one day. Didn't work very long. And I was in under it. And Howard Joyner was the man's name, the main boss. He'd been an army captain in the army. And he could boil you out just the completest and the roughest you ever saw and know how to make you like it.
Oh, is that right?
he'd asked me a time or two to go on the truck, and I wouldn't do it. Dump truck. So he come up and he said to a man by the name of Moore, which is the driver of the truck that had the crane on it to do the lifting, you know. And come up busting along. I seen him coming. I was in under the truck greeting it. And we didn't have anything to do. We were just killing time, you know, me and the operator or driver. Well, he said, "Where's Cook at?" He said, "He's under the truck here." Walked up and kicked the running board. He said, "Come out from under that, Cook." He said, "I want to talk to you." I come rolling out, crawling out. And I said, "Now what do you want?" He said, "I've got to have a driver for this truck, this dump truck." "Now," he said, "I've got some trips. I've got to send it out on the road." And he said, "The driver that's driving it can't afford to send him out. So he don't have chauffeur's license." Well, I said, I don't want to drive the truck. I've got a good job here. Me and Moore is getting along fine." And now he said, "Cook," he said, "I don't want to tell you that that's all I've got for you." He said, "I want you on this truck, dump truck." Well, I knowed him it just what he said, you know. I said, "Well, I'll do my best, but I never drove a dump truck. Don't know a thing about it. Don't know how to dump it." He said, "I'll show you." He said, "We'll show you." And he said, I'll keep you on the yard here till you get to you can handle it. He said, you're a qualified driver, man that can drive a school bus and drive a dump truck. So, wasn't anything else for me to do. So, that was my experience, you see.
Yeah.
Well, why I'm starting at this now, it leads up to the school bus. Now, he didn't know, Moore didn't tell him, no, I didn't tell him that I'd never drove a big bus. We didn't lie, but we told him that I'd hauled school kids the winter before. Well, it was called a school bus. It had the sign, school bus on it, you know. But it was just a 5-passenger car. So, I drove that summer. Well, that fall, when I went in to take my test, now that school bus driver's test, that's rigid. I failed my first one.
Yeah.
And when I went back, I had to wait a certain length of time and then go back before I could take another test, you know. And when I went back, I went to the state police headquarters, the office, you know. And do you know what they done? Now, that was a state police, and he knowed his business. I found out later. You see, you don't know how close people's watching you till it works around like it did with me there. I had hauled a school kid before. Well, he knew I was on this bus from somehow, or this dump truck for the company down there from somehow. And when I went over there to take my test second time, the questions I had to answer. He had the questions and the answers. He set me down at the table and he laid his questions and answers right down on the table.
He wasn't going to let you fail.
Now, this sounds fishy, but it's the truth, guy. So, I made 96. When I failed, I didn't make 80. I had to make 80 before I passed.
Yeah.
So that time I made 96. And when he looked the test over, he said, "Why didn't you make 100? I said, "I was afraid to." It don't sound reasonable, that don't.
Yeah.
But that was what was paid.
Yeah.
And, well, he said, "That's all right." He said, "You're well above any of the rest of them anyhow, most of them."
Yeah.
I believe there's one other fellow made 96. So, he passed me up. And started me out. I said, "Ain't you going to give me a road test?" I said, "I never rode a school bus like that before." Now he said, "Cook," he said, "I ain't been watching you all summer on that dump truck for nothing." Didn't know that. Didn't know it, you see.
Yeah.
Now that's what that state police now. Now, I called him a man.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing now. And I didn't know they was keeping so close tab on me.
Yeah.
But he kept close enough tab till he wouldn't even give me a road test. He didn't know whether I could even change the gears on it or not.
Yeah.
Well, But now you'd had that pickup truck a long time.
Oh, yes, I drove a pickup truck most all of my life, you see.
Way back to when?
Well, I started. I got my first license in 1928.
28.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you had a pickup truck all the time,
rest of the
time.
Part of the time we had
a
car.
Not very much,
not
Mom.
Very much.
No, not very much.
You had to have something to haul a cow on.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
Our first pickup truck was an International, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you left that motor freezing bus in.
That wasn't me. That was that boy that I was telling you about that hit me down the road here.
Yeah.
He didn't dream it, as I told him to.
You told him to do it?
Yes, sir, and he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Frozen busted.
You never had a hired hand. He comes the closest to it, doesn't he? About as close as you got. You know, back in them days, they had these fellas that would go from place to place and hire out.
Well, we've had some hired hands during Cornhorn time and the like.
I've heard.
I'm not just neighbors.
Well, yes, neighbors.
Yeah.
Grew up around. We knew them. They were just young men.
Maybe, yeah.
They're big enough to hold corn and do work like that and work in the hay fields. Yes, we've had hard hands.
Well, you know, the old hired hand, you know, the fellow that lived with you.
They were just too far away.
Yeah.
They didn't stay.
Them fellas, they worked pretty good for you, you know, but they always played tricks on them and made it hard on them and all. I've heard there's a lot of cases, and then they get sick, nobody takes care of them, and all. It sounds like it ought to be a rather pleasant way of living. But
what do you mean, the work hands?
Yeah, the hired hands, the old farm
hired hands. Yes. I'll tell you a little instant. When was it? When did I get the deed for this company land back here? Well, it was in the 30s. It was in the 30s, and it had some timber on it, guy. And I got a couple of fellows, and they cut timber, and I let a neighbor down here, he had a sawmill and a truck, and he'd come and I'd put the logs out where we could load them on the truck. He'd haul them to the mill and saw them, and when he got a load of ties, he'd take them to market. And we'd split on them, the money. Mm-hmm. And I hired these fellas that cut my tie blocks, give them $1 a day, and no dinner. Well, one of them, I boarded him. He lived down the river here, and I boarded him. He'd come on Monday morning and leave on Friday evening. Now that was the nerdest study hand that ever I had.
Yeah.
But it's just to cut the timber well, and then after I got the timber cut, I hired the ground crew too. Got the two fields cleaned up back on the mountain.
You had a little help doing that.
Yes, yes.
And that was in the 30s?
Yes, yeah. When work was scarce and hard to get, you couldn't find a job.
Wages wasn't high then.
Like
they are now.
You could buy a 25-pound bag of flour for 49 cents.
Yeah. Well,
And
when we raised wheat and had it, took it to the mill, we didn't have to go to the store and buy flour. He had to go to mill, haul it clear to Minori. We've done that.
Never did. Well, I've hauled to Minori on a road wagon, and the last wheat I raised, Mom, raised it back in on that hill, hauled it off of the mountain like feet down over the hill there. Don't know, maybe I've told you this before, I don't know.
No.
But anyhow.
Let me change these lights. How do you turn these on? Just turn it here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Push down.
I hauled it over the mountain, stored it in the barn over here, and when I thrashed it, why, set the thrashing machine over there and soaked out of the barn and thrashed it and put it in the wheat box. And I hauled that wheat, hauled it hauled to Flatwoods, seen up above Sutton. For the ghetto flower. That's the last crop of wheat I raised.
Yeah. Now this, when you come here, the road right up there was right down through the middle. Now you had to change that.
Yes.
Now that meant you had the help of the grader.
When,
no, not too much. Just to break that bank up there.
Whenever they grade the road in the spring, why, if there was the right kind of a man on the grader that wasn't afraid of his job,
yeah,
why, he'd run in over a side road from the house out to the main road for a man.
Yeah.
When I got the job, the road graded over the bank down there, I first plowed off and made it so the grader could come over it with a pair of horses, you see, and got it so, and then they graded it out for me.
With a pair of horses?
Yes, yes.
You mean those buckets?
Well, yes, and the shovel. In other words, a slip scraper.
Drawn by horses?
Yes, sir.
I never saw that.
Well, I've got one, but I don't have it at home.
Yeah.
Man Adkins up here's got Boyd. I've got to get it. I think he's figuring on keeping it.
Yeah.
Maybe shouldn't put that on tape, but it's on there anyhow.
He didn't catch that, did he?
And another thing,
they want that, they would be pleased to put the road up there because down there is swampy. Down there, they get stuck all the time.
You couldn't come in there with a car. No.
Yeah.
No.
The only way you do is ride a horse or...
Well, yes, up to the bottom here. So, tell you another tale about old time road work. Down here on the creek, I can show you the patch of road. If we would drive down about 4 miles down the creek here, 3 or 4. I took a wood beam plow and got down there. Don't have no handles on it, but the beam's still there. And I had a pair of good horses. Gray horses here. And this was in Roane County. And my brother got the job. They had got a bond levy for to build the road, take it out of the creek up Granny's Creek, you know. And there's so much money appropriated, $600 or $700, for to do that. Well, my brother got the job, and he wasn't a road man. So he gave it up, and a man by the name of McCown down here had made road when they first started to grade and putting roads on a grade and making hard roads, you know. He'd worked for, he had a brother that was a contractor. And they did the work with horses.
Yeah.
And like you said, buckets on wheels. You've seen them, expect, haven't you?
I don't remember the wheels
Well, now that was the first road that ever I seen made. That was the first road machinery ever I seen.
Yeah.
And he knew how to make a road. Well, they maneuvered around and got him on the road job down here. And he wanted a good pair of horses, and I had them. And he slipped me out of Clay County down there, working in Roane County to make the road. And I took my old number 10 Vulcan turning plow, and them horses, he cleared it off like just going right over there, clearing them brush off, clearing the road, the right of way off. And I'd start plowing right in them roots and stumps.
Oh, man. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And I seen them gray horses pull every pound they could pull more times than once. Well, just 100, maybe 500 times a day. Maybe you wouldn't go far from me to you. Maybe you wouldn't go 2 feet. After you'd loose your plow, you'd strike another. Solid. So it was just, now I didn't have to handle the plow. McCown put a man a hold of the plow.
Yeah.
All I done was handle my line. Mm-hmm. Of course, I had a sturdy pair of horses, and I could handle them, and they'd mind me. When I'd stop them, when I'd say whoa, they'd stop. When I'd say back, they'd back. And yet it was hard on the man that was handling the plow. Mm-hmm. But I didn't let him jump and wear around and jerk the man. I protected him, protected my plow. I expected they could broke it, but they pulled a many a time, every pound they could pull on it.
Yeah.
And I'd pull out roots as big as your arm.
Yeah.
And maybe they'd be pull out of the ground, be as long from here to the door. And I'd have to ease the horses along, keep from breaking the man that was holding the plow, breaking his shins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we made about a mile of road that way, that the right of way was cut off, green stuff like that over there. Made it with a slip scraper and that plow.
A mile?
Yes. At least a mile. If we ever go down the creek while you're up here, well, I'll show you where it's begun.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. I wouldn't know.
And we went down so deep, and we struck solid rock in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. On down, it shot out. Well, I stayed right there and worked, and they never did. The Roane County fellows never did. Nobody never did. Dick, I expect some man with a good pair of horses could have kicked me off back up in Clay County.
Yeah.
But this old man knowed what I had. And he just kept his mouth shut, and we done the work.
So you had a good pair of horses. That far, how far back now was that? That's not the 20s.
Yes.
That's when they was putting in those roads. And that was the first road making that you knew about.
Yes, that's the first, well,
You had a warrant off, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, that was in the...
That was after I had quit for the company here.
Yeah.
And come in home.
Well, that was in the...
Latter 20s.
Yeah, close to
30. No, yes. Yes, now Mom, old Moit, I got him in 1924.
He was
coming a 4-year-old. And I broke him. And the first, this oil field, the first oil well that was drilled in over here, right over here by the road, they're not a pump now. But that's the first well that was drilled in. I went to Anna, and they got the tubing tools off of the United Fuel and hauled them up here for the to tube the first oil well that was drilled over here. And that was that Colt wasn't he didn't have shoes on. He was just cold. That was when I started working in the field.
So
I think that was in about 1925 or 6.
Yeah.
Well, 24. Gee whiz. No,
about 24. You started early doing that public work, didn't you?
Yeah, several different jobs.
But no job just kept right on all the way through. You didn't get tied down.
No.
So you had
to... I just pick up jobs.
Just succession of jobs,
just
one after another.
Yeah.
Well, you see, I don't know whether you want it that way or not, but the way it worked out, see, it was in your favor.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, it was in my favor, yes. That let us get our work done on the place.
Yeah.
Give us a little extra money,
yeah,
which we had to have.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I can tell you another tale that might be interesting. When this oil field started here, that was the first job that this mud horse done for the company before he got shoes on, guy.
I hear you.
And
sounds like it's a
rain. No.
Surely
no,
ain't,
no,
is it?
No. What I started to tell you. When I went to work for the company, the oil field got started here, and they needed teams. Why, I was working for the company for $3 a day myself. I didn't want to work my horses. They was young, you know. And they got so scarce, teams was hard to get, and the farm boss come to me, somebody told him I had a pair of young horses, and he come to me and wanted me to bring them out, and I told him, I said, well now, I said, I don't want to. I'd rather work myself, leave my horses at home. So, He said, I need him. He said, I've got a job here. You can work for yourself, and you can just work them to suit yourself.
Yeah.
Said he had a 300-barrel water tank to put on top of the mountain across on the other fork of Granny Creek for a stock tank for water, you see. And he said, that has to be sledded up that hill. Straight up the mountain. I said, I don't want to put my horses on a job like that, my colts on a job like that. He said, you'll be by yourself. Nobody won't crowd you. Give them the time. Well, I went over there, and it was straight up the mountain. And why, it was just, the day never passed. I done more setting than I did working, you see.
Yeah.
Letting my horses get to breath. Couldn't just start him on up the mountain. Now I hit it straight up. I couldn't just start him up the mountain.
Like over there where the town, the colt was. Is that straight up?
Well, it was as steep as that. A lot of places steeper, maybe. So.
How about back here?
Well, it was as steep as this here.
Well, this is as steep I get on balance.
Well, you would have rolled off of that over there. So I couldn't get loose from my team, and the first 100 days I worked, we was getting $7 a day.
You and the horses?
Yes, $7 a day. I quit $3 a day for myself, and I got $4 then for my horses. See? And wagon and the like. So the first 100 days I worked, how much over half of the money do you reckon I had that I could account for?
The first 100 days?
Yeah.
Well, I'd think you'd held on to a good part of it.
I could show 76 cents over half of it.
Is that right?
Yeah, the horses eat a lot.
You mean really?
Yes, and we done well to do that. You see, we didn't live high on the hog off of it.
Yeah. Oh, you mean your family?
But the horses had to have the feed.
Yeah.
Or they couldn't work.
They going straight up the mountain.
Or they couldn't work, you see.
And once you put them on feed, you can't take them off of it.
Not suddenly you can't.
Yeah. They're lures.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, they will.
Well, you know, there was a right smart public works, one way of looking at it.
They was.
They put always road work.
They was here, and they after this oil field started here in about 1926.
Yeah.
They was work here.
Yeah.
But yet I didn't. I still farm.
They brought so many of their men from other fields going to work. You see. Experienced workers,
yeah. Well, they would work around the machine, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, this place, you have been lucky in getting as much and having as much water as you have. Now, you were showing me down there in the far field this afternoon. That spring just started. It wasn't a spring there when you come.
I didn't know there was any water there till the drought in 1930.
Yeah.
I said all the time that it broke out there in 1930. If there was ever any water there, I had never noticed it.
Never noticed.
But in a dry spell, if there's any water seeping out anywhere, you'll find it.
Uh-huh.
I see.
See what I mean?
And all you had to do for that, was it a bull or
Yes. Black Angus bull.
Black Angus bull.
I just dug out a hole about the size of a wash tub there, and he'd walk up and drink out of it.
Yeah.
That's where he got his water, that time.
Yeah.
And then later, after they got these cement water boxes, why, I built that water box and put it in, piped it into it. And through the summertime, it don't run a stream bigger than that much.
Oh, really?
When it's overflowing, out at the overflow pipe into the creek, it ain't bigger than that much.
That's all you need.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, now, that concrete water box, that don't go too far back, does it?
No. No. That was... They come in existence after I went driving school bus, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the soil conservation.
Yes. Yeah.
So for a long time there, you didn't have anything with that little hole?
And down there, yes.
Yeah.
And then that year, like I told you, when I was down there, there was water broke out, and finally a good hole of water that stays out in the holler on around comes out a little higher on up the holler like.
Yeah.
So evidently, but still, that could be that in the holler could be fed from the pond on the hill.
Could be.
Pond Street back on the mountain.
Yeah.
Up the hollow.
Now, I had the same problem with the digging a ditch and putting the water down on me. Instead of, that's the state did that to me. They dig a ditch right through my fence and let the water come off the road right down in my pasture. And the only trouble was, it was full of Johnson grass. So they've sort of started Johnson grass all over my place.
Oh, with the road.
Yeah, the road people did it. And they didn't need to. They could just let it stay in the ditch, and it'd gone way on down where it's supposed to go, and then it wouldn't have been on my place except one little pond right at the fence.
Well, Guy, that was your fault, wasn't it? The road fellows here. Yeah. You think I'd let them? If the road went along here, back of these bottoms here. Do you think I'd let them put a drain across the road there and run the water right out in my bottom?
Yeah.
No, they couldn't.
Yeah. They do it all over that county.
They can't do it here. they've got to put it into the creek.
Yeah.
They can't turn it out in your bottom. Here.
Well, I'll show you down there. And right down there, you see where that water comes down, and the fella just ditched it to give you a little part of it.
Where's that?
Right down there where you showed me. Past the fence.
Oh, yeah, yes. You see, I could have made him... I could have made him fix that and kept every bit of that water off of me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in contrary with my neighbor.
Yeah.
But you see, you are supposed to do good for evil.
Yeah.
Well, you've got, now you've got the water. Let me see. You got it on top of both of the mountains. And you've had that all along.
No,
we built the ponds.
No, we built the ponds ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, and they just collect water?
Yeah.
Well, this pond over here, there was a spring. There's a spring in the bottom of that pond.
Oh, I see. But you dug the pond out.
Yes. And back here, this one back here, there was a, what old people used to call a deer lake.
Oh.
Place in the woods where the water stayed all the time.
Yeah.
On the flat.
Yeah.
I had the pond dug out where that wet place was, and it runs over most of the time. The last time I was up there and noticed the pond was running over. Now this one over here doesn't do that.
Not all the time. It has.
Oh, it runs over, Mom, with when it rains. It runs the minnows clean out down to the main creek.
Oh, it does.
Fish in both the ponds.
Yeah. Did you put them in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's one thing we never got around to doing, is it? Just raising our own fish. It'd be easy to do.
Yeah.
I was in China, you know, for 2 years during the war, and that was common over there. They'd have these rice paddies with a lot of water, you see, irrigation water, and they would have them a little fish pool and raise catfish or whatever they wanted to raise.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a pretty good system.
Well, we don't care about the fish that much, but now it would surprise you, guys, to know the boys. They was family boys down on the way down on the creek here, perused this pond back here.
They'd slip in there.
Yeah.
And they got to delivering the grit paper. They'd go up the other fork and come back down this fork on Saturdays. Weekends, you know, they went to school, but while they was in school, they delivered the grit paper up the other fork of the creek, back down this one, and through the summer, they would start over there, out the flat, and go out to this pond, and I kept hearing them over there, and hearing them, and couldn't never catch them. They'd hear me and grab the clothes and dodge me in the woods, you see, or something.
Yeah.
So finally one day I just kept my mouth shut and slipped over there, and I was right up on the, after I got to watching, I was right on the field looking right down on them in the pond. That's the funniest looking boys you ever saw. I said, now, boys, I said, what are you fellas doing here? Oh, we just thought we'd take a little swim. Well, now, I said, I've been hearing you fellas over here, and I never could catch you. You'd always beat me to the draw and get out of here, and I never could catch you.
Yeah.
Now, I said, boys, I had this pond made here basically for water for my stock. Now, I said, that's not fit for stock to drink. Way you got dirt up.
Yeah.
And it's just as clear as it can be.
I said, now, now I said, I want you fellas to get out of here. Get out of there and get your clothes on. I don't want to catch you back in here no more. Here's the point. If they'd have got grounded, well, I could have been sued, you see.
And not even knowing that they was over there.
Not knowing it, you see.
Yeah. Well, now, let me tell you. You had a reputation of being sort of a bruiser, girl. Bruiser. Now, I'm just making this up. Because then when your brother went over there as deputy, and you went over there to live.
Brother-in-law.
And you went over there to live with them, and that's when they were treating the soldiers a little bit too lenient, and they took advantage of their privileges, and the fellow who was the constable,
He was the town cop.
He was a town cop. The how'd that go? He arrested the sailor.
Yes. The Coney Island man. He was disturbing in his restaurant.
Yeah.
He called the city police. City police come in and arrested him to take him out.
Yeah.
There was five or six soldiers in there, you see.
Walked out the door with them.
No, they didn't walk out the door. When he got to the door with him, why they just some of them just stepped up. Well, of course they was all backing one another. Soldiers were. They just said, here, we'll take this man. You better get on out of here. We'll take care of him.
Yeah.
You go on out about your business.
Yeah.
So, come over, and the next morning when he resigned his office, why, he told them. Now, I hear it. I don't have hearsay for it. I hear it. He said, when I shut that door behind me, he said, I considered I made a good trade. Said, I thanked them and considered they made a good trade.
Yeah. So they looked around for somebody to take his place, and for some reason they picked you.
They immediately wanted me.
Yeah. Your brother-in-law recommended you?
Well, I don't know.
Well, what?
They didn't. The town didn't know me.
Yeah.
The town officials didn't know me.
No.
Somebody must have.
Yeah. Well, what qualities do you think you had that they thought would help you out in that job?
Now that I don't know.
Yeah.
He was a big man.
Yeah.
I was a stranger there. They had to have a recommendation from somebody.
Yeah. He was big and strong. Mm-hmm. And he could take care of himself. Now that was in World War II.
Yeah. That apart, I expect, in 1946.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Leo told me that. He said, if I wanted to see somebody make hay, I ought to come up here and watch his daddy. Well, I never thought I'd do that, you see. I just took his word for it.
But now he handles, he really handles that equipment. It's like he's used to it. That tractor, it looked like it just got a light touch to it. That's the way it looks. Well, you handle it.
It is nice tractor, nice handling tractor.
Yeah.
Nice. The worst part I've got to it, the brakes crystallized and don't hold too good.
Yeah.
It's a 55 model and I've just put brakes on once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be safe if it didn't have smooth ground. I'm so outspoken what I think about the state officials, state officers. I hate to go into that detail.
Well, we
that might show up here extra in something. Feeling sorry for him, and I thought the police had got out of the place. Justice of the peace had got out of the place when they arrested him, tore out the warrant and arrested him.
Yeah.
For he's a good man. He wouldn't have turned the man loose willingly. He was too good a man to shoot the man.
Faco, and she had talked to Helen, and she had been trying to get a hold of that fellow and hadn't found him. And I told Faye to go over there and give a little assistance and run him down. And not just sit there and talk placidly about running, about whether or not they could get a hold of somebody. And another thing, she said that Barbara had finally got a hold of her, and she'd been trying to get a hold of her for a week, ever since we wrote her. And she is giving up her horse farm over there at Pensacola, and she go come over there at the ranch and bring her horses over there and set up shop and train her horses. I think she gives lessons to them, but if she listened to me, she wouldn't give them lessons. She just train horses because she's good, and she could make more off of one horse that she trains than she can all them youngsters that she plays with, waste her time on. That's just me talking.
All she's after is the dollar. And there's more dollars in training children to learning children to ride horses than there is to breaking horses to ride, and it's a heck of a lot safer. You don't get dumped as many times. Of course, whenever you're out there teaching a kid to ride on an old nag,
yeah,
an old nag that ain't able to buck,
yeah,
you don't get dumped. But you take a young colt in there, 2 or 3 year old, and teach him to ride, and break them to ride, you get dumped.
You mean when they talk about training a horse, they're talking about 2 and 3 year olds?
Yes, sir.
Well, 2 or 3 year olds haven't got enough sense.
Well, that's where they start.
Well, I thought they got to start that young.
Guy, this horse right over here, I can take him down there in that barn if I could get him in. He's a door in the upper end or the lower end, but I can't. And had them sweet potatoes out of there. I can take a whip I've got laying up right out there, make him come right around and pass that door. And he was only 2 years old the 27th day of this last May. He'll never go out that door either.
That's when you start them. If you wait till they're 5 or 6 years old.
You can't break them. They've got the head of their own, like we have.
Yeah. And all you use is, all you use is just one little old buggy whip?
Yes, sir. The proper way to do is never put the hot bridle on them, no holder, till you get them till they mind you.
Is that right?
That's right.
Oh, I ain't made no contact yet.
No way.
No, not yet. Mama, sit still. I'm going to get on that phone in there.
Oh, why are you, well, you need to drink coffee.
No, I'm going to drink coffee.
Yes, Di, that's when you you take a cold. They bring them in, and they're outlaws. A lot of them to break.
Well, now she also trains jumpers and things like that. And they wouldn't be 2 and 3 year old, would they?
I want to call Paul in Florida.
We better let him.
Mom had done laid down and she hollered in and wanted me to try to get a hold of you. I believe it was somebody told me that his mother come home and yes, I believe you told Amy. I believe that's the last I hear. Yeah. Couldn't keep that up, and
after she took him home. But and she went and talked to the doctor, and the doctor said that if he would settle down and wouldn't worry too much, he'd like to keep him a few days longer. So Ruth told Eddie that she was expecting any time after the first of the week for the doctor to call and relieve him. Yeah. Well, she's at home now. Well, Madeline, I'm not bothering you any longer. I hate to bother you. Well, all right. Bye.
She hadn't found out anything. Only what she had told me. She told me that.
Oh, it's been a large day.